Blog Talk Radio.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei! Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
Greg the Truth, co-host of The Majority Decision, is the black belt, Mr. Fayaz, who will be joining us very, very shortly. Well, thank everybody for listening. Give you a quick reminder, let you know to go check us out on Twitter and hit the follow button at Majority MMA. Go over to our Facebook page, The Majority Decision, and like us on Facebook. And please, by all means, do not forget to subscribe to our show, follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and if you're using a medium that allows you to leave a comment or a rating, give us a good rating. We'd really appreciate it. It'd really help the show out. Appreciate everybody for listening. And of course, as always, you can give us a call at 929-477-1077. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Various news in the world of mixed martial arts. Before I get into that, I wanted to bring something up that I thought was a little bit of an interesting type of a card, that this UR Fight live stream pay-per-view that's coming up in March from Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know if anybody's heard about this, but I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. I don't know if it's a shoot or if it's a work or what the deal is. But as I'm looking at what's going to take place on this card, I'm seeing Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, Roy Jones Jr., Chael Sonnen, Dan Severn, Michael Bisping, and Ken Shamrock. Apparently those guys are the headliners, and what's going to take place is they're going to have four fights and or matches, I don't know. So what we're looking at is an MMA fight between Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn, which I'm surprised that Bellator didn't book that fight. But there's still time. Maybe this one will end in a draw, and they'll run it back again at the in a Bellator main event coming soon to you. Pro wrestling match between Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio, and a grappling contest between Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping. That's kind of interesting. And then the inevitable, Roy Jones Jr. is apparently going to fight a fan. Take your puncher's chance at winning $100,000. Enter to fight Roy Jones Jr. So $100,000 and a black eye and a broken nose. That's what you can get if you show up to that fight or that card and check it out. But I don't know, I just thought that was weird. So, you know, I'm looking at, you know, what's going on here, and I'm thinking, you know, what's the gimmick here, right? I mean, is the MMA fight going to be a shoot, or is it going to be a work? And because we know the wrestling match is going to be a work, obviously. It wouldn't surprise me if the boxing match is the same. But is the fight between Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn going to be a work? Is the grappling match between Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping going to be a work? Or is it going to be an actual grappling competition? I don't know. I guess we'll have to tune in to see. But I just thought that was a little bit bizarre of an announcement that came across my desk that I thought I'd share with everybody else and kind of let you chew on that for a little bit. But, of course, the big sad news of the week that we want to get right into is the passing of a guy who probably would have to be considered as a, at the very least, a pioneer in the world of mixed martial arts, and that's, I'm talking about former UFC heavyweight champion Kevin Randleman. And sad to hear him passing away at the very, very young age of 44. I guess he passed away from heart failure after a little bit of a bout with pneumonia. How will you remember Kevin Randleman?
I will remember Kevin Randleman by him dumping Fedor right on top of his head. That's how I'll remember Kevin Randleman. He was Kevin Randleman was one of the most explosive fighters out there. Always fun to watch. Just ridiculous. Just crazy. You know, when you see guys, you know, when they come into the octagon and they're jumping up and down, you know. He was kind of the pioneer of that, man. He used to do that. He was just ridiculous. And he had explosive power. He could pick somebody up and just, I mean, just launch him. And, you know, Kevin Randleman was a monster. You know, former UFC champion, former Pride veteran, and, you know, left it all in there, man, when he went out to fight. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, that's definitely, to me, probably the memory that I have of Randleman is him delivering, like, the, I think it was like the belly, it was almost like a textbook professional wrestling suplex. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
it's not a professional wrestling suplex. It's a traditional wrestling suplex that professional wrestling uses and over-exaggerates. But he hit it like it was a WWE match.
Right.
Fedor on his head, and it was absolutely nasty.
He practically jumped when he did it. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. No,
he
didn't win that fight. Yeah.
No.
He did. Yeah, he didn't win that fight, but, you know, that's just the way, you know, that was just a testament to the way he fought. I mean, he went all out. He put everything into it, and it was always going to be an exciting fight when Kevin Randleman stepped into the octagon or stepped into the ring.
He was a tough guy. Really fought a who's who of mixed martial arts, you know, back in the early days. Fought Ebenezer Braga, Maurice Smith, Carlos Barreto, then also fought guys like Boss Rudin, Petey Williams, Pedro Hizo, Chuck Liddell, Randy Couture. I mean, he fought pretty much everybody that there was to fight in the world of mixed martial arts. So if there's anything that you can say about Kevin Randleman is that he wasn't the type of guy to back down from anybody.
No, not at all. Not at all. He, you know, he was a pioneer. He was there in the beginning, and you know, that was, it's awesome. It's kind of sad to see him pass away at such a young age. He's only 44 years old. Obviously, he probably wasn't competing anymore, but he'd been through some battles, but motorcycle accident, you know, whatever else. But, you know, it was, yeah, 44 years old, man. You don't ever want to see somebody pass away like that. So, thoughts go out to his family, and, you know, we'll always remember how Kevin Randleman fought and lived.
Some other interesting news that I thought, well, I don't know what I think about it, to be honest with you. But earlier this week, I guess it came to fruition that Chris Leben is going to fight again, and he's going to fight for Bellator, kind of coming through a bit of a troubled stretch, I guess. You know, he's had substance abuse issues over the course of his career that I think, well, you know, I guess I can't say that I know for sure, but I can only assume that it held him back to a degree in his career. Possibly, I guess at one point I would have said, well, it probably led to his career ending early, but now he's back, and he's back with Bellator.
Yeah.
I guess he's back to get a paycheck. I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, we all know Chris Leben comes to fight when he comes to fight. You know, the way he fought, I guess, you know, I saw a little interview with Chris Leben on Inside MMA, and you know, his big deal was, you know, he was addicted to pills, you know, pain pills, pain medicine, that sort of thing. And, you know, that's a hard thing, you know, for a guy to overcome, you know, props to him. You know, I think he's still young. He's still young enough to where he can fight and he can compete. And, you know, if he's healthy now and he feels good about it, by all means, why not? Why not do it, you know? And that's the way he likes to earn money. And, you know, he's still able to do it. And, you know, he's healthy. Why not do it, right? Why not fight any, you know, fight where, you know, the next best money is going to be in right now. That's Bellator.
Yeah, he's still young. I mean, he's 35 years old. I would rate him. He's got about 33 fights under his belt, somewhere in that range, I think.
Yeah.
My question is what you just said. You know, is he able to fight? Can he fight? Of course. I could fight, right? I could fight. Somebody would allow me in a cage if I wanted to bad enough. But
right.
That doesn't mean that I should fight. And
right.
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure that Chris Lee even should fight. You know, but you know, to his credit, you know, if he's come back and he's beat all of his demons, his issues, you know, he's had a couple of years off, so his body should be. For a guy like that to take time off, I definitely think it can make a difference. He hasn't fought since 2013, so
yeah,
you know, I'm definitely pulling for him. But I just don't know that, man, I don't know. I hate to see guys like that that really helped bring the sport along in that late 2000, mid-2000 area hang on too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. You know, sometimes hanging on too long is what, you know, causes the substance abuse. You know, with professional
yeah.
athletes, it tends to turn, you know, there's substance abuse, but, you know, there's a lot of the, you know, being addicted to the pain pills and, you know, things
right.
of that nature just to get through training or, you know, just to make that next camp so you can get paid or, you know, whatever it may be. So, you know, if, you know, one good reference for that is if you've ever seen the documentary The Smashing Machine, you know, it's about Mark Kerr, also former, you know, former champ and, you know, what he went through. And finally, it took him to the point where he almost died. He ended up in the hospital. So that's a serious deal. So hopefully he's fully recovered. And, you know, if he feels good from being fully recovered, you never know, right? When your body's so coated up with whatever's in it, you know, do you really know how healthy you are? You know, what's your game really like, right? But, you know, if he's feeling good and, you know, he feels healthy, then, you know, why not? Why not? So I don't know who he's going to be fighting when he comes back to Bellator, but, you know, hopefully he's more of a tactical fighter now rather than just going crazy and taking too many shots to the head.
Another guy. Blast from the past that apparently is going to fight again and for a company overseas in England, I believe, is Jason Mayhem Miller. And
oh, wow.
Just another guy that, wow, I don't know, man. Just because you can fight doesn't mean that you need to fight. And,
you know, yeah, I don't know. You know, Mayhem tried to make a comeback there for a little bit, and I'm not sure if – I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know if maybe he just didn't train as hard. He seemed to get gassed a lot, you know, when he did come back, you know, for his little stint there in the UFC when he made his comeback. I don't know what it was, man. It looked like he kept gassing out and, you know, things like that and – You know, before that, I think I saw him fight Sakuraba, and Sakuraba's ear fell off or something like that. And, you know, Jason Mayhem Miller's been in a lot of crazy, weird fights, but I guess he's going to fight for the Bama organization? Is that the one in England?
I'm trying to see if I can get that exact company here. I'm not 100% sure. No, it's It's Venator FC.
I've never heard of them.
Okay.
Correctly. Yeah, I've never heard of them either. But
probably one of the small
Luke
ones.
Barnett.
Luke Barnett.
Yeah, the guy that he was on the Ultimate Fighter, I think, a couple years ago. Tall, skinny, lanky guy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Covered in tattoos. Luke Barnett, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know how he'll fare against Luke Barnett, but, I mean, you know, if he's going to fight, then, you know, these guys come back and I think they feel like, well, if I come back and I come back to another organization, maybe it'll be better, you know, whatever it may be. I think if you know, at one point you're at your best, and the reason you feel like you're not at your best is because of the way the organization treated you. You know, I don't think that's the case. I think you really have to look within yourself and see, you know, if it's something you really want to do, you know. And the only thing I can think of is a lot of these guys that are coming back now after being gone for so long or being off the mat for so long is maybe they need money.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great point. And it wouldn't surprise me with either one of these guys that – you know, they need to come back to help support their family, and that's fine, and that's to put yourself out there like that in a cage with another guy standing across from you that's ready to pound your face in. You know, to do that, to make money to support your family. You know, that's there's a little bit of honor in that, I think.
Yeah, there is, but. Sure,
but my question would be, these guys could get paid in a Metamorph. These guys could get paid in a grappling contest or, you know. Well, I guess obviously not as much as they would for a mixed martial arts fight.
Right. Look at this, right? Maybe if you're the lower tier guy and you're going onto a card in Bellator, right, and you've got some sort of a name, right, you can wear all your sponsors, even if you get paid, you know, like Josh Thompson when he went over there, right? Josh Thompson, I think Josh Thompson ended up making $35,000, almost $40,000 when he went over to Bellator to fight. You know, if you look at it, only $10,000 of that money was what he got paid for the fight. The rest of it was sponsorship earnings. So, you know, if you've got that opportunity, I guess why wouldn't you jump on it? I don't know that Metamorphs, you can probably wear sponsors in, but I don't think that they have enough exposure to where a sponsor is really going to want to, you know, slap their name on you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they have it. You know, they're not there yet. They don't have that platform. Speaking of jiu-jitsu tournaments, the UFC is adding two jiu-jitsu tournament companies. One is the Eddie Bravo Invitational tournament. They're
nice.
Adding that to their Fight Pass as
nice.
For their Fight Pass. So I think that's a great move for both those sides. UFC needs content. They need content outside of the UFC banner to make that appealing, in my opinion. Because the WWE,
I think you're right.
That's how the WWE has their network. You know,
yeah.
Now they own all the properties, but it's not all WWE stuff. And the UFC, the more non-UFC stuff and variety that they can offer, I think the more appealing that package becomes.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you guys here that are, you know, no-gi jiu-jitsu fans, I've watched all the Eddie Bravo Invitationals, and, man, those are some fun matches. They're submission only. There are no points, and the overtime. And there is overtime, so there is a clear cut winner. And the matches are only. What was that? Was that a ghost? The matches are only 10 minutes long. So, a 10 minute match, and the guys are constantly trying to finish. I mean, that's a grappling exchange you want to watch. So it's a good show. I enjoyed it. Also, Eddie Bravo puts kids on for his super fights. think the last couple I watched, he had two 13-year-old girls on a super fight, and he did the same thing for another pair of girls. So I think that's pretty cool too.
Yeah, definitely. If you have two high-level young people out there, why not? I mean,
yeah,
I've seen it. I know
future,
you've seen it. Absolutely. Yeah. And some of those kids, a lot of those kids that are competing at that high level, they're serious. It's not like watching two spares out there rolling around. I mean, they're highly skilled for their age level. Serious about winning.
Yeah, these kids are strictly trying to tap each other out, and it's very fun to watch because when you see kids that are 12, 13 years old and they're that technical, it's ridiculous. You can only imagine what type of monsters they're gonna be when they're full fledged adults. It's amazing to watch, man. They're like sponges. It's so awesome.
So, I don't know if you've seen any of the Bellator videos hyping the Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000 fights.
Yeah.
But I've seen a few of them on Twitter because they'll just appear in your Twitter feed and they'll automatically begin to play. So I watched a few of them. And let me just say this right off the bat. Not only do most people not know who Dada 5000 is, nor do they have a reason to care whether or not Kimbo Slice knocks him out. When I see this guy in the promotional videos, now this is a promotional video. You need to be looking at your absolute very best. And this guy, both videos that I watched, and maybe I'm overthinking it, but there was not one shot that showed him below his chest. In other words, what I'm getting at is the reason that they did that was the guy's fat and has a big, huge stomach. Now, I understand that it's heavyweights, right? So there's a lot of guys that are big, but I don't know. It's just...
Well, there's big and then there's serious and in shape, right? You know what I mean?
It's a freak show.
Yeah, he's not Roy Big Country Nelson, right? Everybody looks at that guy and goes, that guy's out of shape. But now everybody knows who he is, seen him fight. He's not out of shape. That's just the way he's built, right? Well, that's just who he is, you know? He's not out of shape. He gets in there and trains just like everybody else does, you know? It's just the way he looks. Dada, we don't know. Right, and all Dada's promotional videos, he's in the backyard, right, putting on bum fights. So I don't know that, I don't know that guy is putting in 100% of a training camp, and I'm just not interested in that fight at all. I feel like I'm watching kids do backyard wrestling. I don't know. I'm just not interested in that fight. You know what? Ken Shamrock, Hoist Gracie, I'll watch that fight just because there's, throwback, right? There's pioneers there. You know what I mean? I'll watch that fight just for that reason. But and then all the other fights on the card, but I'm just not interested in watching two guys that really have no skills. As far as MMA goes, real technical skills, just walk in there and just, swing till somebody falls down. I like a good fight as much as the next guy, but, I think I've grown past that.
I'm telling you, they're coming in there and one of them's going to shoot.
You think one of them's going to shoot?
Straight double leg, and it's going to be lay and pray for 15 minutes. No, I don't.
You're
think
thinking,
but it would be super funny if it did.
It would be so awesome if it happened that way. And you know what's going to happen, right? Dada takes Kimbo down, right? Now we're back in Bellator, right? Now we're back in Bellator, where we all know when Kimbo was in Strikeforce, we all know it, or Elite XC, whatever it was, we all know what happened, right? Every time somebody would take him down to the ground and start getting the best of him there, the ref would all of a sudden say, oh, no, wait, you're taking too long. We got to stand this fight up so that Kimbo could have a swinging chance, right? And then when Kimbo got to the UFC, you know, he was exposed, man. He was exposed for what he was, you know. He was basically, you know, catered to in those fights. And that's why I never really liked the guy, man. That's all it is. Yeah, I'm sure he's got a great knockout punch, but that's the only reason I never really liked the guy. I couldn't get into it because, you know, you can tell that they were just, those fights were made to give him as much advantage as he could to just be able to throw a haymaker and put somebody on their face.
So that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and it should be, you know, it'll be an interesting card, to say the least.
If that's the case, man, put him in one of those special Japanese promotions where they, you know, they change the rules, and so there's going to be a hands-only fight or only a stand-up fight, right? Don't put him in there with MMA rules. Just put him in there where he can throw hands with somebody. That's, you know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, and why not, right? You're already just the fact that you have that fight on your card is already very suspect. So why not just go all the way? Why not just make it a stand-up only fight? I mean,
yeah,
that's what they want to do anyhow. Take away what they don't want to do out. So at least both guys are forced to do what they're claiming that they're going to do.
Exactly.
Not stand and bang.
Exactly.
So did you get a chance to see Michael Bisping interrupt Anderson Silva's open workout?
I did not. But it doesn't surprise me that he did it, but I didn't get to see it, no. I'll have to watch that one.
Yeah, you'll just have to watch it to really take a grasp at the interestingness of it. But is this fight forgotten about, or does nobody care? I mean,
it's on Fight
maybe
Pass.
Maybe 5 years ago, this is a huge fight.
You know what? I don't know, man. I think it's a good fight, except it's on Fight Pass. When do they promote those things? You know, right? It's kind of a weird deal. I don't even know how Fight Pass cards get promoted. I don't. Every once in a while, you see a commercial or something like that, I'm not even sure what it is, but I'd watch the fight. I mean, let's face it, everything, Anderson Silva may be old, but, I mean, the guy can still fight, right? He's still got all his skills. He's still an amazing athlete. Michael Bisping still wants to get in there and fight, you know? I think he's got, like, a glass eye or something going on there on the right side. I'm not sure what's happening there, but I don't think he blinks in that eye. It's just kind of weird, but whatever. You know, hopefully it doesn't fall out when he's fighting.
I'll tell you what happened to the right eye. It was Dan Henderson's left hand is what happened to Michael Bisping's right eye.
Detached retina, I think, is what happened there. Well, I mean, look, his eye, you know, his eye was damaged, and, you know, I'm happy the guy can fight, but, you know, hopefully nothing permanent happens because Anderson Silva's a long, crafty striker. So, if anything, it'll be a pretty decent fight. He put up a good fight against Vitor Belfort, so maybe it'll be a good fight against Anderson Silva.
I'm very interested in this fight. I think, you know, that's what I'm saying. I just feel like this fight's really not getting enough publicity, hence Michael Bisping causing a big stir.
This
would
have been a great Fox card.
Attention to this fight. You know,
this would have been a great Fox Sports one card, yeah. Totally.
Because there's some other good fights on that card. You got Talis Lytus and Gegard Mousasi. That's not a bad fight. Brad Pickett and Francisco Riviere. That's not a bad
fight. That'll be a good
one. So, I don't know. Well, that's about to wrap it up for this edition of the Majority Decision on a slow news week in the world of mixed martial arts. Views right back with us 10 o'clock on Sunday for another edition of